Now, here's an excerpt from a letter bringing up a subject I've had a good many comments on. So let me bring the whole matter out in the open and answer it once and for all. Earlier this year, I got a letter from Patrick Moss saying, in part...
You were very gracious.
Well, you were very polite, too. Well, really, you were. Now, this is what I mean by being extremely courteous and polite in pointing things out and asking questions. You have every right to ask questions. In 1909, Baum wrote in The Road to Oz that the inhabitants of the Land of Oz did not use money. This concept, though there are a few minor exceptions in the Thompson books, was generally adhered to throughout the series. In Forbidden Fountain, the idea of a fair is introduced, with the citizens having things for sale, and even Ozma herself walks around with coins in her pocket. I'm curious if this was written in simply because you felt it was a nice touch, or perhaps you don't share it with certain possibly overzealous Oz readers of finicky attention to detail. You see how polite he is? Is there a blame? Well, as I told him in my answer, I'm not very finicky about details. Baum himself contradicted himself two or three times, and even at one point, I understand, forgot where it was he put the Winky Country. But especially since I realized the company I'm in, we both have really tried hard to obey the rules and satisfy the purists, whether we are purists or not. In regard to the money, I really didn't think I was straying too far. In one of Ruth Thompson's books, which one did you decide that
Grandpa.
Was?
Grandpa.
Grandpa?
I told you about Grandpa.
Well, I thought it was Kabunko.
Grandpa, he flipped a four-pin.
Oh, that one, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, and Grandpa, well, yeah, she found another instance. The instance I was talking about was somebody paid a toll somewhere, and I sort of thought the boy's name was Peter, but I'm not sure. And it seemed to me the coin was a quint. Now, I'm not sure of any of this, not really sure, but that's the way I remember it. And it seems to me it was the book with the Oz tree, Jane. Which one was that?
I told you it wasn't that one.
No,
it wasn't that
one. It wasn't that
one. All right. It was some other book. And I couldn't find it when I needed it, naturally, to make sure of what the name of the coin was. But I thought it was a quint. And I liked the word at the time, and I remembered it that way. And then Lynn tells me, she just told me the other day, that Grandpa flipped a fourpence. He had a fourpence. It was a rag bag coin. And it had the head of Fumbo on one side and the royal arms of Ragbat on the other. So you flip heads or arms. anyway, fourpence is a little unusual, but not all that unusual.
Baum also refers to in the Wizard first book, the Green
Hands. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, I based my flight of fancy on what I thought were pretty sound canonical grounds. And then I invented a whole monetary system, giving a value to each coin and having a perfectly delightful time inventing the names. My husband helped me. He's awfully good at just coming up with weird names just on impulse. And putting the whole explanation in a footnote. Now, I want to read you the original footnote. Maybe this will get me off the hook. The money in Oz is rather complex. There are two copper coins, the tiny fardeldink and the triangle-shaped squid, five silver coins, the quingle, the quant, the ozo, the jang, and the jeetle, and the gold piastre, which has Ozma's profile on one side and the royal crown on the other. To give you some idea of the relative values, three fardeldinks make a squid, six squids equal a quingle, two quingles make a quant, and three quants an ozo. There are two ozos in a jang and five in a jeetle. The piastre is worth 10 jeetles. However, most people in Oz care little about getting rich and enjoy using all these coins mainly because they're so pretty. If you are squitless and need to buy something, they will usually make you a present of it. Not, however, if your mother has said no. Now, I thought that reduced the whole thing into a kind of playful barter and wouldn't really count, you know. And I had such a good time with it. But and it kept the atmosphere properly Ozish. And also I needed this motivation. We had Emeralda. The whole bit about the Lime A was she wanted to earn her own money for this cookie, you see. And the only way she could do it was, well, and obviously we shouldn't have thought of that in the first place, but that's what we had. And so what happened, when Fred Meyer first read the manuscript, he brought up the matter of money. He knew very well that he would be only the first one to bring up the matter of money. And in any case, I took out all the footnotes, except the one about nothing, because it tended to slow the action of the story. They really didn't belong there anyway. So the footnote went, and it's apocrypha now. And then I kept just enough coins to motivate Emeralda and get the story going, and no explanations. So it all turned out sounding rather different from what I'd first intended.